You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to TPC's midterm election preview show. You just heard from the one and only Brad Griffin in the first hour. Now we bring back to the program for the second time freelance journalist Jose Nino. Jose was originally born in Venezuela, now living in Texas. You can find his columns at a wide variety of locations, including Big League Politics and elsewhere. And he did such a good job in his debut appearance a little bit earlier this summer that I thought that he would be fantastic to have on in this particular role tonight. So Jose is back with us to offer data-driven insights on how we can expect this week's midterms to play out and why. Jose, welcome back. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, James. Thank you for having me on again.
Entirely our pleasure. And Keith Alexander is here as well. And so let's get started. We have you for just two segments tonight. I saw a report that the Republicans are leading in the early voting in Miami-Dade County outright. What in the world is going on here?
Yeah, Florida is definitely where you're seeing the Hispanic realignment take place at a much more rapid rate. And there are several reasons for it. For one, you have a relatively Caribbean Cuban elite that tends to be much more conservative than the average Hispanic voter. And as a result, they have a whole media ecosystem and political apparatus that allows for Republicans to win on occasion and sometimes flat out dominate. But now you're beginning to see more Hispanics become like politically mature in that area. And there's a whole list of reasons I believe that they're becoming more Republican. For one, I think immigration, Hispanics are not as pro-open borders as the bobblehead media would like people to believe. There, I've seen some polls actually that show that Cuban Americans are some of the biggest proponents of immigration restriction, and they favor not only restricting illegal immigration, but also legal immigration. There is a strong tradition of restricting immigration on labor grounds in the Hispanic community. You can see it with Cesar Chavez too, and a lot of the Tejano voters in Texas, and also some of their cousins in New Mexico, Southern Colorado, and like Nevada. Now, the Miami case, I also would argue too that if you look at the history of Miami, there are a lot of race riots and racial tensions between Hispanics and Blacks there. And if you look at what happened in the 80s as well, up until the present, you have seen a de facto ethnic cleansing of Blacks on the part of Hispanic leadership that really cracked down on Black grievances and pushed out a lot of Blacks. And nowadays, what you see in Miami is a predominantly Hispanic city with an increasingly not only African, but also Caribbean Islander Black, but like so-called foundational Black Americans have been largely pushed out of the city, and they're going to other parts of Florida or just going to America's de facto Negropolis in Atlanta. But but you also, I'd also call attention to the excesses of wokeism, especially transgenderism and really radical LGBT has spooked otherwise moderate Democrat voters among Hispanics, that because Hispanic Democrats tend to be very moderate on social issues and issues of policing. So this very pro-Black agenda and also pro-degeneracy agenda is starting to scare many Hispanics. And we're not just talking about Cubans, but also Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Mexicans. And for the first time, they're actually starting to exercise like their voting power by voting against Democrats on those issues. And yeah, I feel like wokeism is creating a huge backlash. And you see this from the sexual deviancy that's being promoted to also like the body shaming. Because if you want to know one thing about Latin American cultures, fat shaming is huge in those cultures. And any type of promotion like body positivity and all of that, people are not going to have that. Like from where I'm from, Venezuela, it is world renowned for its like models and Miss Universes. So people are not having any of that body positivity, funny business.
Let me ask you this.
What a great opening statement from Jose Nino.
Yeah, Jose, this is Keith. Let me ask you this. Would you say that Cubans are basically in charge of Miami and the southern tip of Florida now, or is it a broader coalition of Hispanics? And also, kind of rate the groups within the Hispanic population, Cubans, Venezuelans, Dominicans, Texicans, Mexicans, Central Americans, where do they fit in the liberal conservative spectrum?
If you look at Miami and southern Florida, it is predominantly Cuban dominated. You have seen some Puerto Ricans as well gain prominence. Also, there's a big Jewish element too. It's a big power. There's kind of like a de facto power sharing type of agreement where Cubans generally run a lot of the politics and Jewish interests through the bankroll and all that. Cuban Republicans are among the most Zionist and I would say most neoconservative of like the Republican Party on like foreign policy issues. Surprisingly, Cubans are kind of moderate on certain social issues. For example, the former Congresswoman Ilana Rosletnin was big on normalizing like transgenderism, especially in the military and like tranny surgeries and all that. She's voted for legislation on that. And Cubans tend to be pretty, just to note, because the voters are a different story, Cuban politicians tend to be very pro-open borders, and there's a big Hispanic business elite there. As for other voters, Venezuelans, coming from Venezuela, one thing a lot of Americans don't know, especially those on the right, Venezuela has historically been pretty leftist for the past 70 years. You have on one hand, like the current Chavismo regime, which is really the dregs of society plundering from a predominantly European-based like traditional elite and screwing up the country. It's like the lowest IQ people running the country. But then on the other hand, the opposition tends to be very similar to Western European social democrats and to some extent like the Democratic Party here. There's not really a right wing in Venezuela, but the Venezuelans that are in the United States, which are not that big when you compare them to other Hispanic groups, tend to be more on the conservative side, but I think that's self-selected because if you just open the entire mass migration floodgates to Venezuelans, I think you'd see more of a mean reversion to like a more Democrat type of voter. Other Hispanic groups like...
Hold on right there, my friend. The music has started. We got to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to take this conversation beyond the borders of the state of Florida and how Hispanics are trending nationally in some of these contested races next.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Jose Nino, our guest this hour. And Jose, why don't you give people the information as to how they can contact you and read your great and insightful work. I was reading quite a few of your articles just earlier this week.
Yes, you can find me at Jose Nino Unfiltered on Substack, josbcf.substack.com. I'm also on Twitter at Jose Al Nino. Those are the principal sites that I'm mostly present at. And Big League Politics is where I mostly write at these days.
Okay, and you can, of course, find him on Twitter by just going to the top of our Twitter handle, and we've got him linked on tonight's show promo, and you can link over to him and follow him, and I do encourage you to do that. So,
Give us a skinny now, if you would, Jose, on the coming predicted red wave and the Hispanic participation in it. Is, you know, whether it's large, small, or medium.
I do believe that there is going to be a red wave where Republicans take back the Senate and House. There's structural reasons for that because the party that's not holding the presidency generally makes pretty solid gains in the first midterms. On top of that, you have really extreme circumstances now where you have mass inflation, crime going through the roof, a Zerg rush at the border, and this total woke insanity that is engulfing the country, which is making a lot of people reconsider. My prediction on the Hispanic vote, I think Republicans will pick up 45% of the Hispanic vote. And yeah, you'll see like the typical talk about how, yeah, we need to stop talking about immigration and all that from like GOP consultant hacks. When in reality, if anything, the salience of the immigration issue has probably prompted many Hispanics, especially working class Hispanics, to realize that, yeah, this is something that's undermining us now. And there's a lot of Hispanics that now have a stake in society and that may actually identify themselves more as like culturally white. And sometimes even ethnically white, if you actually look at their overall ethnic composition and all that. So they're like, they're going through a political awakening. Like the Tejano vote, the Tejano realignment, I think is going to stay like that for generations to come because they have a unique situation in that they not only identify as white, but they're also on the front lines of a collapsing border and Mexico's drug war literally coming to our doorstep.
All right, hold on right there, Jose. This is just talking about some of these swing states, some of these competitive races. The Republicans, according to Real Clear Politics, are leading them all from anywhere between half a point, which is, you know, statistically dead heat. Up to 5 points, and that is Blake Masters, 48.1% over Mark Kelly, 47.7%. That's in Arizona. That's the closest race. But then you have Dr. Oz leading Fetterman. And if you think Biden wasn't mentally fit to run, have you seen Fetterman lately? I mean, what the world is going on there? In Nevada, the Republican candidate, 5 points over the Democratic candidate, Wisconsin, Ron Johnson. 5 points over his challenger in Wisconsin.
For example, it looks like them taking the Republicans over the edge in a place like Nevada.
Well, that's a good question. And then I was just going to say very quickly, it looks like J.D. Vance is running away with it in Ohio. But yeah, that's a good question. In Nevada, we were talking a little bit about Florida, but what about Nevada and the impact that this swing to the GOP that the Hispanic voters are taking could play there?
From my understanding there, the Hispanics there are very much working class, and I would argue COVID, I should have mentioned COVID as well, because a lot of a bulk of Hispanics are not part of the laptop classes. A lot of, a good portion, I'd say, are like the hard hat classes that were really impacted by COVID, especially in the service sector above all for the bulk of Hispanics. And there are Hispanics there that have lived for multiple generations, because as I mentioned before, the Tejano demographic is a kind of like foundational Hispanic American that are like descendants of conquistadors that made their way from Florida all the way to California. And you see pockets of them. There's a good portion of Nevadans of Basque origin. For example, Adam Laxalt is a Basque last name, from the Basque region of Spain. And some, I do believe there are some unique factors that are contributing to that. The Hispanic working class is starting to realize that the Democratic Party, from its cultural values to its economic principles, such as pushing for mass migration, are not in line with that, with what they want. And I'd also add as well the elephant in the room of the interracial beef between Blacks and Hispanics too. So these factors are what are precipitating this shift among Hispanics, especially in areas like Nevada.
All right, let me ask you this. So this is a national news headline, going back to Florida briefly, because what you're talking about is manifesting itself nationwide. Headline out of Florida, it's going to be ugly. All signs point to Republican landslide in Florida. The subheadline reads, national organizations and donors have all but abandoned Democratic candidates, setting off fears that Florida is no longer viewed as competitive. That would have dire implications for the next presidential election. And according to this poll, Hispanics are breaking for DeSantis 61% to Charlie Crist's 36%. That's a 25-point bump for DeSantis among Hispanics. I don't even know if whites are going for him to that degree. And this was something that Kyle Rogers, our friend over at nationalconservative.com, just wrote, that Latino groups are sick and tired of watching the pandering and coddling of Black criminals. Polls show that a higher percentage of Latinos oppose BLM than whites in 2020.
Yes. And one of the signs I saw in 2020, there was going to be a Hispanic shift. What is that? I wrote about this in American Greatness. There was a poll that measured support among Democratic voters, keyword Democratic voters, that they asked them about if they would back a military crackdown against BLM. Every group, minus Hispanic Democrats, were against a military crackdown against BLM. I think close to 55% of Hispanic Democratic voters supported using the National Guard to restore order to the streets. And from that point, from that poll forward, was when I was convinced there was going to be a shift among Hispanics. That was the final straw that broke the camel's back in that respect. And Democrats, as Steve Saylor has talked about, when they become the Black Party, it becomes very problematic for them due to the fact that many of the other non-white groups in their coalition, from Asians to Hispanics, and even some Middle Easterners, they're just not down with black criminality. And sometimes it leaves openings for really clever politicians to reach out to those groups on law and order basis and try to pry away their votes.
I've got a question for you here, and we only have about a minute remaining. The conventional wisdom has always been, of course, that demographics is destiny, and I don't discount that, but that any immigration that we were receiving, whether it be illegal or otherwise, coming from Central and South America was akin to a Democratic voter registration drive. For a long time, that was basically true, but it looks like, and we've been talking about it this hour, that that's turning. And if it is turning, that certainly buys us considerably more time. Do you think these trends will persist?
And do you think they'll flip? Do you think the Hispanic vote will flip to Republican, majority Republican, anytime in the near future?
Well, I think it's right there right now. I mean, it's very close anyway, but is this something sustainable, I guess is the question.
I tend to think that... is really conditional on how the Democratic Party goes, in my opinion. If they continue becoming the Black Party and they overstep
and the woke party
bounds, the bounds of these cultural issues, more Hispanics will continue exiting. That said, a Hispanic influx in the GOP has some disadvantages too, because you will see Republicans bend over backwards to uphold Hispanic interests as opposed to the interests of like the historic American nation and working class white voters, which are the principal demographic that Republicans should be aiming for. But I'm not sure too, because you have to also look at it this way too. The predominant wave of Hispanic migration that's coming to the US now is Central American, which tends to break Democratic. So who knows? If there's an immigration moratorium or Hispanic immigration ceases, you're probably going to see more shift towards the Republican Party in the long term.
Hey, Jose, great to have you back on tonight. Really appreciate you participating in this preview show for Tuesday. Couldn't have done it without you. Folks, follow him on Twitter, and we'll talk to him again soon. Jose Nino, everybody.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. On the final weekend before Election Day, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis held a Don't Tread on Florida campaign in Flagler County Saturday morning, touting what he says was a triumphant recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic, saying their refusal to institute at the time common vaccine requirements and lockdowns kept Florida the freest state in the country coming out of the pandemic.
Are you happy to live in the free state of Florida? Yeah. Are you going to work hard on November 8th so we can keep it that way?
Here's good news. There are new numbers on veterans' homelessness in this country.
Veterans in the U.S. experiencing homelessness are seeing the biggest decline in 5 years. New data released this week shows the number dropped by 11% since 2020. There were more than 33,000 homeless veterans in January of this year, compared to more than 37,000 in 2020, according to the point-in-time count conducted by multiple government agencies. The new numbers show significant drops each year in homelessness from 2010 to 2016 as well. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
The United Nations COP27 climate talks open Sunday in Egypt. World leaders are facing some serious global issues, including Russia's war in Ukraine, rising energy prices, and inflation, among many other things. Going into the two-week talks, Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research Chief Johan Rockström says his expectations are low.
We see very limited progress. We have a geopolitically very challenging situation in the world with the Ukraine war, with the economy moving into recession, inflation levels rising, trust levels being at a very low level. And as we know, climate action requires trust and collaboration among all countries in the world.
This is USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
And welcome back, everybody. So two wonderful commentators tonight helping us handicap what we expect to see on Tuesday. And that is, I guess, to pare it down, there's not enough vote fraud in the world that's going to save the Democrats this time. Maybe in a close election, yes, but this time I think it's going to be a different story. What's going on within the Republican base? We've talked about this so many times over the course of the last 2 years, going back to Biden's inauguration, as we mentioned with Brad Griffin. What's going on? Let's quickly recap some of those polls that we have cited time and time again, one more time before the midterms. 73% of Trump voters believe that the Democrats are replacing white people with immigrants and people of color who share their political views. That is to say that 73% of the 60 plus million people who got counted as voting for Trump believe in the great replacement. The great, it's not a theory, it's a fact. These are also very well armed people, by the way. Got people like Blake Masters, who's running in this competitive race in Illinois, saying that gun violence is, Arizona against Mark Kelly. Thank you, Keith. He is blaming gun violence on, quote, black people, frankly, end quote. Try these numbers on for size. Red state Trump voters now say that they would personally be better off than worse off if their state seceded. So a majority of Trump voters say that they would be better off if their state seceded, according to Yahoo News. So this is where the Republican base is, and this is why you're beginning to see Republican politicians tote the line. That's what they have to do to protect number one, which is what they're after. Right after the Biden inauguration, 87% of Trump voters responded to a poll saying that they are worried about anti-white discrimination. That's why you're hearing ads like the one we ran in the first hour. Could you believe that ad? Could we have done any better? I don't think so. 80% of Trump voters reject white privilege. 64% say that their race is important to their identity. You know, this is where the Republican Party is now. But why are they going to win so big on Tuesday? It's a combination of about 10 things. And that is the fact that, and these are things that Brad Griffin has documented as well, the hundreds of monuments that have been destroyed, the censorship and purging of the internet by big tech, 6 months of nonstop violence by the Antifa and Black Lives Matter terrorists after George Floyd all the way through the 2020 election. Of course, the FBI and the DOJ turned a blind eye to this violence. Okay, Republican voters saw this. That same FBI and DOJ was weaponized against Trump and his supporters. The media has gone so far left, it's just a never-ending attack on whites now. Just a constant bombardment, more than ever before. The definition of racism, I wrote this 12 years ago in my book, but now it's official. All whites are racist now. Too many people to count have been doxxed, fired, silenced over differences in opinion. Donald Trump said that his election was stolen from him, and 70% of his voters agreed with him. And then the simultaneous push to indoctrinate kids on critical race theory and gender mutilation from kindergarten onward. That is why you've got what's going to happen on Tuesday. And the polls continue to flesh it out. 92% of Trump voters say the mainstream media is identical with the Democratic Party. 86% of Trump voters want to build a wall. 80% reject white privilege theory. 77% of Trump voters feel like they're gagged by the political correctness. 62% of Trump voters want to deport all illegal aliens. This is where we're at, Keith. This is the Republican Party now. And because that's where the base is, that's why you're starting to see the politicians drift that way, too. That's why you're seeing national television ads like the one we played in the first hour.
Well, there's definitely a sea change afoot here with what's going on. Basically, the Democrats represent about, like Brad said, 19%, 20% of the electorate, but they have all of this institutional power. And the big question is, how can we translate this grassroots fervor that we have for pro-white positions into institutional power? That's the process that we're involved in right now, and hopefully this election is going to be a great leap forward for us in obtaining institutional power.
Now, this is another thing that Brad documented and that I mentioned in a recent talk. This transition, and we talked about it in the first hour as well, is already happening in fits and starts. So some more things that used to be taboo but are now being discussed openly in our circles and that has entered into the mainstream conservative consciousness over the course of the last couple of years are nationalism, secession. You know, we talk about the Republican Party of Texas. Just this last summer in Houston, the Republican Party of Texas put it into their platform that they want secession put as a question on the ballot. Journalists being the enemy of the people, abolishing the FBI, black-on-white crime, the Great Replacement, the term anti-white.
Repealing affirmative action.
Attacking the SPLC and the ADL. I mean, Tucker Carlson does that constantly now. White advocacy and things in general. All of this stuff you didn't see. You certainly didn't see it before Trump. You really didn't even see it a couple of years ago. But over the course since Biden's inauguration, I think that was the touchstone moment. Now you're seeing it. And now here we are. And you know, this is another thing that Brad wrote. I was going to share this with him in the first hour. He writes that finally, there's the fact that I'm relatively happy with the GOP right now to the point where Charlie Kirk and Clarence Thomas and ultra-MAGA Republicans are going in our direction. So you have Charlie Kirk now who just 2 years ago were throwing people out of his meetings for saying the things that he is saying openly and publicly.
Look, he was the typical normie con a couple of years ago. Now he is more like a white advocate.
But he was throwing people out of his meetings for asking him the questions that he is speaking and asking now. That's how far and how fast to stay in business he's had to keep a pace with his own base. And now I'm telling you, folks, what would make you persona non grata within the establishment conservative apparatus 2 years ago is now things that are being parroted by their mouthpieces.
And the people that aren't making those changes are becoming more and more irrelevant. People like David French, Max Boot, Bill Kristol, people like that. Those old neocons, those old Jewish-inspired neocons, are becoming dinosaurs.
Yep, that's right. And so this is where we are, and this is where we're at. And I guess, it's as I've said before, we're going to win. I'm not even thinking about anything else, but I gotta say, we just celebrated 18 years on the air last week, Keith. You know that? And by the way, what'd you think about that show? What'd you think about all those calls?
I thought it was wonderful. It was great. You know, we have such a heritage, and we go back so far. Talking to people like Linda Baum, for example, Brad's mother-in-law, the former, the widow of Gordon Baum, the head of the Council of Conservative Citizens. I remember when we had these small conventions in places like the Guest House Inn in Nashville. And now it's like we've taken over the landscape.
See, that's the thing. I mean, you know, it's all about the collective. It's not about number one. But for all of us who have been toiling in the vineyards now and everybody else, and we know we've influenced people. People would never believe the people that I hear from behind the scenes that say, you know, elected officials, media personalities, we can't quote you, we can't cite you, we can't do this with you, but, you know, I want to let you know that I really appreciate your work. I'm a big fan of your show. One day all of that will come to light. I'm not going to out anybody, but I'm just saying that stuff is out there.
Scales have fallen from a lot of people's eyes.
Well, you know, look, we know we people pay attention to us, but look at all the coverage we've gotten over the years from the controlled press, even Rush Limbaugh. But
We're not acknowledged, but we are influential.
No, we aren't. We're attacked, but acknowledged, whatever. That's the thing I think that's going to – I don't think – and it's not just this program, although this program has certainly been a catalyst, but everybody out there that's been in the trenches, everybody that we regularly feature on this show for the last 18 years, all of them – have
and
done
all
the
of
work.
You people out there in all, the audience.
Well, obviously, without the audience, none of this exists
the
or happens.
The audience is basically, the audience is growing.
We're the proxy for the audience. Without the So, yes, the audience gets the recognition for all of this, but that's the thing. I don't think our audience and our people are going to get the recognition we deserve when we win. And that's the one.
None of us will, but I think that if we can change society to be more like us.
We were laying up our crowns in heaven, right, Keith?
Exactly. And it's wonderful that all this is happening. You know, white advocacy is now out of the closet. It is a thing, and it's something to be contended with in the political mainstream.
And this
now.
Is all the way. I mean, David Duke, anybody we have on this program, what are mainstream politicians now saying that David Duke didn't say, minus the Jewish question, although that question is warming up quite rapidly. We're going to talk about that.
You know,
they've
really picked
next
on
hour.
The wrong people with black people, because black people, black men and women are not going to cuck like whites.
Well, this
is
the thing. I mean, they have been told for years they can do no wrong. If a black person speaks, we've got to listen. They're not used to being told to shut up, and they're not shutting up. We're going to talk about that in the third hour with John Friend. Believe me, you don't want to miss the third hour tonight. One more segment coming up this hour, and then we're going to transition into that. A very special person had an 84th birthday this week. Do you know who it was? We'll tell you when we come back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
In message 1, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power, Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was what it sounded like if you were in New Hampshire on February the 20th, 1996.
Decent burials. But listen, my friends, we have won a tremendous victory here tonight, but we no longer have the element of surprise. We had it in Alaska and Louisiana, but we no longer got the element of surprise. All the forces of the old order are going to rally against us. The establishment is coming together. You can hear them right now. The fax machines and the phones are buzzing in Washington, D.C. But you got to get together. Somebody's got to get out and take on this guy. We got to have one guy take him on. But I'll tell you what, we don't have time. We need the troops. We need the troops. But I'm telling you this. You need the troops. You need the troops. But I'm telling the folks out in the country, they're going to come after this campaign with everything they got. Do not wait for orders from headquarters. Mount up, everybody, and ride to the sound of the guns.
Pat Buchanan turned 84 years old, Keith, on November the 2nd.
He's an irreplaceable man. He and Sam Francis were really the clarion voices back in the day, back in the 90s and whatnot. I see that Pat seems to have slowed up on his production at his website now. Hopefully he's in good health. We hope that he is here for many years to come to see the revolution that he started come to fruition.
Anybody who is familiar with the history of this radio program knows the role that Pat Buchanan played in it from my time as a 19 and 20-year-old on his last campaign, and how that gave me my start. And we don't have the time to rehash that tonight.
It was inspiration for you and me and for so many others.
But, I mean, there's just a direct line that you could say, well, there's a lot of people who have fingerprints on the development of this show, but without Pat Buchanan, you can just say they flat out would never have been this program. There's just no doubt about that. And anyway, we've told that story before. We don't have time to say it, to tell it again tonight. But I do want to make mention of the fact I put up a little thing just sort of as an afterthought, saying that I put it on the day after his birthday on social media, on Twitter. I wrote that Pat Buchanan turned 84 years old yesterday. Happy birthday, legend. And it just went all over the place. Ann Coulter retweeted it, and Ron Paul's team retweeted it, and it just went far and wide. I mean, just hundreds of thousands of impressions. And
he's as influential a right-wing thinker as we've had in the past 50 years.
Well, listen to some of these comments. I mean, there were hundreds of comments left, and they were leaving them as if Pat himself were reading my Twitter. And I'll just read some of them. Who was more right about everything than Pat Buchanan? While there are still intellectuals of the old right, Buchanan was the last of the old right politicians. Absolute legend. The GOP needs more people like Pat today. Right from the beginning, baby. Like a boss. Happy birthday, sir. Pat, run for president. I was with him in 96. Go, Pat, go. A lot of people talking about how they campaigned for him, or how their father or grandfather had campaigned for them, and just the comments are unbelievable. The comments are unbelievable. If you can go to my Twitter handle at James Edwards TPC, you'll see it. And I think I was proud of it. You know, I was proud of it because, of course, again, you know, how I got my start, to see this outpouring of affection. You know, I was proud that we were able to.
The Death of the West there. That is probably his most influential book, I would dare to say, wouldn't you?
They had a lot of good ones, but yeah. Well, and then, of course, Suicide of a Superpower, which
was... That was an updating of Death of the West, basically, 10 years later.
That was... he had... well, you know, he came... Oh, then there was the Churchill-Hitler and the Unnecessary War. There was State of Emergency. Yeah,
those would be his top three books, as far as I'm concerned. First, Death of the West, then Suicide of a Superpower, then Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War.
And, of course, several of those books, he appeared on this program, this very program, to...
To promote.
That's absolutely right. Probably the greatest conservative mind of our time. I love everything about this photo. I got put the photo to illustrate it. It's Pat sitting with a Colt revolver from the War Between the States era, sitting in front of a portrait of General Lee. So I thought that was actually quite fitting. So listen, you know, it's an important thing. You got to remember the people who came before you. I think that's important. Certainly anybody who's done any sort of work that's positively impacted people deserve to be remembered. And at 84 years old, hey, you know, I'm a lot older now than I was when I started, Keith. I guess you could say the same thing. We all get a little older every day. None of us know how many more trips around the sun we've got. So let's remember the people who championed our cause.
He is...
they're here and then after the fact.
There would not be this renaissance of white consciousness in the Republican Party were it not for Pat Buchanan and Sam Francis. Those two are the biggest names, and Sam Francis died way too early, 2005. But I tell you what, Pat Buchanan had the national platform, and he absolutely, you know, dominated right-wing circles for years and still does.
Well, this is something that several people commented on out of the hundreds that commented on this post, was that this is Pat Buchanan's Republican Party now. The peasants with pitchforks came 28 years later.
Yeah.
But they came.
It. But see, we would have no institutional power if there were not a brave soul like Pat Buchanan that came on and decided to run for president and make a credible run for it. He basically got our ideas into the national conversation, and God bless him for that.
Buchanan, another person writes, a lot of blue check marks, if you can believe it, retweeted this. Buchanan is one of the few great Americans alive today. Really went far and wide, and so anyway, zero F's given, except it's spelled out. That's an Irishman I can wrap my arms around. A lot of birthday wishes. Kevin McDonald, I see Kevin there. Ann Coulter, we mentioned. A lot of people, members of state legislatures and things like that. So, anyway, good stuff.
Yeah, I love to see him there with that Colt pistol. Reminds me of the old saying, God didn't make all men equal, but Colonel Colt did.
That's right, that's right. Well, hey, listen, that being said, and happy birthday, Pat. What about our commentator tonight, Brad Griffin and Jose Nino? What'd you hear?
Well, I heard good common sense, cutting through the cant. These people are not the type of people that are cockeyed optimists. They will call a spade a dirty shovel, as my wife's grandfather used to say, my late wife's grandfather. Well, guess what? They feel that there is genuine cause to be optimistic about the upcoming election. Let's hold our breath. Let's hope and pray that things turn out the best way possible. But let's hope that this is not only a resounding defeat for the Democrats and their woke agenda, but let's hope that it is also a transformation of the Republican Party and their positions and their platforms in the future, that we basically are going to give the working class people of America a voice, a predominant voice in the governing of the American people. This is what we need. This is what we've been striving for. We've had one elite after another that are basically hostile to the ordinary American citizen running the show for too long. It's time that we tried something new. Let's get the working class of America front and center from this point on.
Yeah, there are some people that are going into the Republican Party. I mean, even people who lost, people like Lauren Witzke, but, you know, won the nomination, you know, in a contested primary. There are
and
more
I
people
hope
like
they're not
that
through.
In.
I hope they jump in now.
If Lauren Witzke ran in a place other than Delaware, I mean, she'd be a senator now. I mean, you look, this is what Brad said in the first hour. The discontent of the Democratic program as it is now, with its unadulterated and out of control wokeism, has.
I'd love to see her replace Joe Biden in Delaware.
Well, it's taken the worst candidates the Republican could field beyond the finish line, Herschel Walker, Dr. Oz, and things like that. So, yeah, you know, if a gal like Lauren Witzke ran in a southern state, you know, she walks in.
That's a Trump influence. Trump wants celebrity above all. If you have a name, he'll overlook whatever shortcomings you might have in terms of political positions and whatnot, and run you. That's why we have people like Dr. Oz and Herschel Walker running, but hopefully they will take advice from the new young Turks in the Republican Party, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Blake Masters, Paul Gosar, people like this, Josh Hawley, and will start to really transform the Republican Party into what it started to become in the 60s, which was the populist alternative to the elitist cabal in both parties that were running American politics back in the 60s and enforcing on us horrible, horrible policies like the civil rights movement and the integration of public education. Look at how public education in America has declined since 1954 when the Brown decision came along. Basically, everything that's happened since then has shown that the conservative opposition was right and the liberal innovators were wrong.
Another little bit of evidence as to how the GOP is turning, 2 years ago, you wouldn't have seen a congressman or a former member of Congress, Steve King, speaking at American Renaissance. So now, you know, coming up the week before Thanksgiving, just a couple of weeks from now, you'll have the opportunity to meet Steve King, who's going to be one of the key speakers at American Renaissance. I mean, I think that is absolutely noteworthy and profound.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, I remember when American Renaissance was having one convention after another canceled because commercial hotels were backing out. I found, finally, Montgomery Bell State Park with a large hotel and eating facilities there that could accommodate them. And because that was a governmental facility, they could not back out of their commitment the way that a private hotel could do. Now you see that they're growing and getting more and more mainstream speakers in there this time than they've ever had before.
All right. In the third and final hour, John Friend, the associate editor of the Barnes Review, talks with us about the potential splintering of two key support groups of the regime, the noticing. What's going on with Kyrie Irving, Kanye West, and Elon Musk? It's been a busy week for that trio, and we'll tell you all about it when we come back. Don't go anywhere, folks.
The times they are changing, as Bob Dylan said.
Don't want to miss this.